With all the GLP-1 companies out there, how does someone know which one's actually reliable?
I tell people to look at four things. Is it safe? Does it work? Is it affordable? And will you actually get clinical support? When you use that filter, one brand keeps standing out, Bleve. They use U.S. pharmacies. People see results close to the research, about 18% weight loss. It's around $4 a day, and they include nurse support at no extra cost. And full disclosure, I actually use them. I signed up during my lunch break and got approved before I even left work.
Okay, I just Googled it while you were talking, and yeah, it really does look simple. For anyone listening who wants to check it out, where should they go?
It's joinbleve.com, spelled B-L-I-V.
So if you've been curious about GLP-1s, joinbleve.com might be a good place to start.
Not everyone who gives you a smile actually wants to see you thrive. And not everyone who hurts you does it in an obvious way. There are people who don't need to tear you down with insults or open attacks. For them, it's enough to be there, to watch you, to linger nearby, and to drain you little by little like someone quietly siphoning your energy without leaving a trace. Today, I'm not here to tell you to fight. I'm not here to ask you to confront anyone or argue or even explain yourself. Today, I'm here to talk to you about something far more powerful, letting them vanish in silence. Because when you stop reacting, when you no longer feel the need to justify yourself, when you stop making yourself available, something happens. Not inside you, but inside them. And that's what this message is about. Lesson 1. The quiet drain. No one taught you to recognize. There's a kind of exhaustion that doesn't get fixed by sleeping more. It doesn't heal with a trip. It doesn't disappear even when, on the outside, everything looks fine. It's that fatigue that settles in after you talk to certain people. When you hang up a call and feel like something inside you shrank. When someone shows up in your life and a part of you slowly starts to dim. Maybe you've felt it. You start asking yourself, why do I feel so drained if I didn't do anything wrong? Why, after seeing this person, do I walk away with guilt, confusion, or this strange sense of emptiness? And here comes an uncomfortable truth. Not everything that consumes you is work. A lot of the time, what wears you down the most is people. The problem is nobody raised us to spot this. We were taught to endure, to be understanding, to not abandon others. But we were rarely taught how to protect the soul. And that's where the most common mistake is born. We think being a good person means being available to everyone, replying to every message, listening to every drama, giving second chances, third chances, and even 10th chances. And without realizing it, you end up becoming other people's emotional trash can. A real example, someone who always shows up loaded with problems but never once asks about yours. Someone who criticizes your choices for your own good. Someone who mocks your growth but benefits from your support. They don't insult you. They don't scream at you, but they wear you down. And that is harm too. What modern applied stoicism says. Marcus Aurelius didn't use the phrase toxic people the way people do now, but he talked about something even worse. People who steal your reason. He said, "Do not allow anyone to govern your mind unless they live according to virtue." Translated into today's language. Don't let someone who lives in chaos have daily access to your peace. A stoic doesn't run away from the world, but chooses carefully who they listen to. What Christianity says, and almost no one explains. Jesus helped people, yes. Loved people, yes. But he didn't stay where there was no respect. There were moments when he withdrew, kept silent, walked alone. And here's the key. He never chased anyone to convince them of his worth. That teaches something deep. Walking away isn't always a lack of love. Sometimes it's obedience. So where does the solution begin? It doesn't start by blocking everyone. It doesn't start with fights. It doesn't start with explanations. It starts like this. Pay attention to how you feel after you interact with someone. Not how you feel before. After. Identify patterns. You always end up feeling guilty. Always defending yourself. Always giving more than you receive. Reduce. Don't announce it. Fewer messages, fewer explanations, less access. It's not punishment. It's emotional hygiene. A direct connection. If this episode makes you a little uncomfortable, that's not an accident. Maybe you already know who you should erase, but you haven't dared to. Not because you're weak, but because you're afraid of looking bad. But hear this calmly. You are not a bad person for choosing peace. You are not selfish for protecting yourself. You are not cruel for refusing to keep bleeding for other people. In the next part, we're going to go even deeper. Who exactly are those people you need to erase? And why does explaining it only make everything worse? Stay with me, because this isn't about them. It's about getting yourself back. Lesson 2. Why explaining yourself is what weakens you most. There's something almost all of us do. Something that's quietly breaking us from the inside without us even noticing. We explain ourselves. We explain why we changed, why we don't respond the same way anymore, why we need distance, why we decided to step back. And we tell ourselves that's maturity, that it's good communication. But a lot of the time, explaining yourself isn't clarity. It's emotional submission. The cycle that repeats, and you might already be living it. It goes like this. You make a decision for your well-being. For the first time in a long time, something in you feels peaceful. And then someone asks, "What's wrong with you? Why are you being so cold? Did I do something?" And instead of staying quiet, you start justifying yourself. You explain. You apologize for what you feel. You defend your growth. And without realizing it, you handed over the control. Another real example, way too common. Someone treats you with indifference for months. You finally decide to pull away. And right when you do, they react. They play the victim, blame you, accuse you of being the one who changed. And that's when you fall into the trap. You start explaining something that never even required an explanation. The result? You end up confused, guilty, doubting yourself. They regain power, and you lose peace. What Stoicism teaches without romanticizing it. Epictetus said something brutally honest. If you want to be invulnerable, don't give explanations to someone who can't understand reason. Translated to today, not everyone deserves access to your motives. The Stoic understands something critical. People who need control will always demand explanations. What Jesus teaches, and almost nobody mentions it. There's a powerful moment in the Gospels. Jesus stays silent. He doesn't argue. He doesn't defend himself. He doesn't justify himself to people who already decided they wouldn't understand him. And that silence wasn't weakness, it was authority. Because silence used well breaks manipulation. Why does silence destroy the other person's game? Because when you explain yourself, you give them information, you give them power, you give them control. When you stay quiet, they start projecting, they get frustrated, they expose themselves, without you doing anything. Not because you're cruel, but because you stopped playing. How to apply this? Concrete steps. Decide without announcing it. Don't explain beforehand. Don't ask permission afterward. Change through actions, not speeches. Fewer words, stronger boundaries. Accept the discomfort. An uncomfortable silence lasts minutes. Guilt can last years. A direct message. If right now you're thinking, "But if I don't explain, they'll think badly of me," breathe. Anyone who needs to fully understand you in order to respect you never truly respected you in the first place. In the next part, we're going to touch something even more delicate. Why erasing someone in silence makes their reality start to crumble without you doing absolutely anything. Stay with me, because this is where real change begins. Lesson 3. When you erase yourself, their reality starts to collapse. There's something no one tells you when you decide to erase someone quietly. At first, it looks like nothing happens. There's no explosion, no instant drama, no endless messages. And that messes with you, because you were expecting a reaction. You were expecting an apology. You were expecting something that would confirm your decision made sense. But what happens is much deeper and much slower. The misunderstanding. A lot of people think, If I left and nothing happened, then I overreacted. No. What happened is, you broke an invisible structure. Some relationships aren't held together by love. They're held together by habit, control, and a need for validation. And when you disappear without explanations, that structure suddenly has no foundation. What's really happening on the other side? First, confusion. They don't understand what happened because they no longer have access to you. Then, anxiety, because they can't read your emotions anymore or steer you. Then irritation. They start labeling you as cold, selfish, strange. And finally, emptiness, because your presence was serving a purpose. Here's a clear and far too common example. You were the one who listened, the one who was always available, the one who replied fast, the one who carried conversations no one else would carry. And when you leave, that person faces something new, their own internal noise. And that hurts. Not necessarily because they miss you, but because they can't escape themselves anymore. What Stoicism says, without pretty quotes. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "The best revenge is not to be like the one who harmed you." But there's an even deeper layer. A deliberate absence disarms someone else's ego. You don't attack, you don't demand, you don't correct. You simply aren't there anymore. And that confronts them more than 1,000 words ever could. What the Bible teaches and almost no one applies. In Proverbs, it says you answer a fool with silence. Not because speaking isn't worth it, but because some people only learn when they lose access. Jesus lived this too. He withdrew, he stepped away, he didn't chase people who weren't ready. Distance isn't always rejection. Sometimes it's order. Why does silence change the power dynamic? Because when you complain, they see you as reactive, emotional, predictable. But when you erase yourself, you become unpredictable. You take back control. You create a void that no one knows how to fill. And listen, this isn't manipulation, it's a natural consequence. If you're asking yourself right now, what if they come back? Answer yourself honestly. Are they coming back to change or to reclaim what they lost? Because not every return is repentance. A lot of returns are simply hunger for control. How do you know you did the right thing by erasing them? You sleep better. You think more clearly. You stop justifying yourself so much. Your energy slowly starts to come back. That isn't coldness. That's healing. In the next part, we're going to touch something sensitive. Why does guilt show up right when you're doing the right thing? And how do you stop confusing compassion with self-abandonment? Don't leave, because this is where a lot of people backtrack. And you didn't come this far just to go backwards. Lesson 4. Guilt, the final control mechanism. Right when you start to feel a little peace, something uncomfortable shows up. Guilt doesn't arrive loudly. It comes in quietly, like a question that sounds right, disguised as morality. What if I'm being too harsh? What if I overreacted? What if God expects me to endure a little longer? And this is where a lot of people stumble. Not because they don't understand what's happening, but because they confuse compassion with personal sacrifice. How guilt works in real life. Guilt doesn't always appear when you've done something wrong. A lot of the time, it shows up when you break a pattern. A very common example, you stepped back, you set boundaries, and suddenly that person becomes fragile. They remind you of everything you've done for them. They make you feel important again. And your mind starts saying, maybe they need me. Maybe without me they fall apart. But that isn't love. That's emotional programming. What Stoicism teaches about guilt. Seneca said it with brutal honesty. Guilt is useful only when it corrects. When it paralyzes, it becomes poison. If creating distance gives you clarity, rest, and inner order, you're not failing. You're correcting. A Stoic doesn't allow weakening emotions to govern them. They observe, and then they choose. What the Bible actually says without distortion. Here's something almost nobody explains properly. The Bible speaks about love, mercy, forgiveness, yes. But it never teaches you to tolerate emotional abuse. Jesus forgave, but he didn't stay where there was no repentance. And the Apostle Paul the Apostle put it clearly, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial." Feeling guilty doesn't mean you're wrong. A lot of the time it means you stopped being easy to manipulate. Clear signs the guilt isn't yours. Before you left, you tried everything. You explained more than you needed to. You drained yourself emotionally. You slowly lost yourself. If you've already done that, then this guilt isn't conscience. It's a habit breaking. How to deactivate guilt? Practical steps. Look at results, not the emotions of the moment. You're calmer now. That's evidence. Don't confuse someone else's need with your responsibility. Not every pain you witness is yours to heal. Pray and reflect from calm, not fear. God doesn't speak through panic. If you feel a knot in your chest right now,
with all the GLP-1 companies out there, how does someone know which one's actually reliable?
I tell people to look at four things. Is it safe? Does it work? Is it affordable? And will you actually get clinical support? When you use that filter, one brand keeps standing out, Bleve. They use U.S. pharmacies. People see results close to the research, about 18% weight loss. It's around $4 a day, and they include nurse support at no extra cost. And full disclosure, I actually use them. I signed up during my lunch break and got approved before I even left work.
Okay, I just Googled it while you were talking, and yeah, it really does look simple. For anyone listening who wants to check it out, where should they go?
It's joinbleve.com, spelled B-L-I-V.
So if you've been curious about GLP-1s, joinbleve.com might be a good place to start.
It's not because you're doing something wrong. It's because you're growing. And growth always makes the people who benefited from your old version uncomfortable. In the next part, we're going to talk about something almost nobody dares to say. What happens when those people try to come back? And how do you tell whether the return is sincere or just another strategy? Stay with me, because this part can save you years of backtracking. Before we continue, let me tell you something calmly. If you made it this far, it wasn't just curiosity. It's because something inside you already knows it needs to change. Not everyone goes looking for messages like this. These messages find the person who's tired of repeating the same story. If this episode is helping you think differently, if any part of it made you uncomfortable, even a little, I invite you to subscribe to the channel and turn on notifications. Not just to watch more episodes, but to constantly remind yourself of who you're trying to become. And if you know someone who always gives too much, always feels guilty, always goes back to the place they already decided to leave, share this episode with them. Sometimes one sentence at the right moment can change someone's direction. Now I want to hear from you. Leave me a comment so I know who made it to this point in the episode. Not something generic, something real. Simply write, "I'm ready to stop betraying myself." That comment isn't for me. It's for you, and for others who will read it and realize they're not alone. And I want to ask you an honest question. Answer it without thinking about likes, without thinking about who will read it. Who do you know you should erase from your life, but you still haven't dared to, and why? Your response might be the clarity someone else needs today. Breathe. Take a second, because what comes next is even more delicate. In the next scene, we're going to talk about something almost nobody knows how to handle. When those people return, and how to tell whether the change is real or just a new form of control. Let's continue. Lesson 5. When they come back, how to tell real change from manipulation. It almost always happens the same way. When you step away in silence, when you stop explaining yourself, when you're no longer available, they come back. Not everyone. But the ones who do come back usually follow a very similar script. And if you don't learn to recognize it, you can lose in a matter of minutes what took you years to understand. Coming back isn't always love. The first lie we tell ourselves is this: if they returned, it must mean they value me. And sometimes that's not true. Sometimes they return because they lost control, lost validation, lost emotional stability. And they want to reclaim what you were providing. Not necessarily you, but what you gave them. The most common ways they return: Pay attention because this is painfully real. With selective nostalgia, they only bring up the good parts. They never mention the harm. With guilt wrapped in affection, no one understands me like you. You were always different. With promises without actions, big words, small change. With victimhood, they make you feel responsible for their pain. If you recognize any of these, stop. A Stoic knows this and doesn't forget it. Epictetus said it clearly. It's not what they say. It's what they do that reveals who they are. Real change doesn't get announced, negotiated, or dramatized. It gets proven, and it stays consistent even when you're not around. What the Bible teaches about true repentance, the Bible is clear. You will know them by their fruits, not by their tears, not by their speeches, not by one day remorse. Fruit takes time. It requires quiet consistency. If someone only changes when you're present, then they didn't change. How to respond without falling back in? Practical. You don't need speeches here. You need simple responses. Right now, I need distance. It's not the time. Respectful silence. Don't attack. Don't explain. Don't defend yourself. A boundary is communicated through consistency, not emotion. And if someone is knocking on your emotional door right now, remember why you closed it. Not everyone who returns deserves to come back in. And not everyone who promises deserves another chance. Sometimes the greatest love is not opening the door. In the next part, we're going to talk about something that hurts, but also heals. The loneliness that comes after you erase someone. And why that loneliness isn't punishment, but part of the recovery process. Don't leave. This is where everything starts to fall into place. Lesson 6. The loneliness. That isn't emptiness. It's reconstruction. After you erase someone, after you set boundaries, after you hold the silence, something arrives that scares a lot of people. Loneliness. Not the loneliness of being around no one, but the loneliness of having no more noise, no more constant messages, no more drama, no more someone demanding your attention. And then an uncomfortable question shows up. Who am I now without all of that? The mistake of misreading loneliness. We were taught that being alone means failing, that silence means abandonment, that if no one is close, it must mean something is wrong. But the loneliness that comes after choosing yourself isn't punishment, it's space. Space to hear yourself without interference, space to think without guilt, space to rebuild what you slowly abandoned while carrying everyone else. A very real example. There are people who don't fear losing you. They fear being left alone with themselves. That's why they fill their lives with incomplete relationships, empty conversations, and non-stop noise. You did the opposite. You chose to stay with yourself. And that takes courage. What Stoicism teaches about loneliness. Marcus Aurelius said, "Retreat into yourself. There you will find calm." A Stoic doesn't run away from the world. They get ordered on the inside before returning to it. Loneliness isn't isolation. It's emotional training. It's where you learn not to react, not to depend, not to beg for validation. What Christianity teaches, and it's powerful. Jesus would withdraw to pray alone, not because he was lost, but because he needed clarity. God doesn't speak through chaos. He speaks through silence. If you're alone right now, it doesn't mean God left. It means you finally have space to hear him. How to use this loneliness in your favor? Practical. Don't fill it immediately. Don't run to new people just to avoid feeling. Watch what thoughts rise up, because that's usually where the wounds asking for attention are hiding. Rebuild simple routines. Sleep better, walk, write. And lastly, pray or reflect. You don't need massive changes. You need quiet consistency. If you feel alone today but at peace, you're not empty. You're free from what was draining you. And that freedom at first feels strange because you weren't used to it. In the next part, we're going to talk about something essential. What kind of people should return to your life and which ones should never return, no matter how sincerely they apologize. Stay with me, because this is where your new circle and your new future get defined. Lesson 7. Who deserves to come back and who never should? After the loneliness, after the silence, after rebuilding yourself from the inside, an unavoidable question shows up. Who do I let in now? Because this isn't about shutting yourself off from the world or living suspicious of everyone and everything. It's about choosing with wisdom. And this is where a lot of people fail. Not because they didn't learn, but because they're afraid of getting it wrong again. The mistake of believing everyone deserves a second chance. We've been told, give them another chance, people change, don't be so harsh. But almost no one tells you this. Not everyone who says, I'm sorry, is ready to respect you. Forgiveness can heal your heart. But access has to be earned through behavior. Clear signs someone does deserve to be close. These people don't make noise, but they feel safe. They respect your boundaries without turning them into an argument. They don't make you feel guilty for changing. They don't compete with you. They're genuinely happy for your growth, even if you surpass them. They don't need you weak to feel strong. These people don't drain you. They stabilize you. Clear signs someone should not return, even if it hurts. Pay attention, because this is where a lot of people betray themselves. They pressure you to go back to who you used to be. They invalidate you when you set a boundary. They use the past to manipulate you. They only change when they feel like they're about to lose you. They want you close, but they don't respect you. And it doesn't matter how long you shared your life with them. It doesn't matter how many memories exist. The past does not justify present harm. What Stoicism teaches about choosing people. Seneca said it plainly. Surround yourself with those who make you better, not those who need you so they don't fall. A Stoic understands something essential. Your environment shapes your character. You can't build a strong mind while surrounded by people who live in chaos. What the Bible teaches, very clearly. The Bible doesn't say love everyone without limits. It says guard your heart, for from it flows life. Guarding your heart doesn't mean closing it, it means protecting it. Jesus had crowds, but only a few walked close to him. That's wisdom too, a practical exercise, powerful and simple. Do this honestly. Think about the people who are close to you right now and ask yourself, do I feel peace after talking to them? Can I be myself without fear? Do they respect me even when I say no? If the answer is no, you need more evidence. A direct message. Choosing better doesn't make you cold. It makes you responsible for your life. And not everyone who loses you by accident. Some lose you because they can't use you anymore. In the final scene, we're going to close this message with something fundamental. What happens when you stay firm in this new version of yourself? And why, without doing anything, your life begins to fall into order? Don't go anywhere. The ending isn't noise, it's clarity. Scene 8. When you stay firm, everything starts to align. A quiet moment comes, almost imperceptible, when you realize something. It doesn't hurt the way it used to. You don't react the same. You don't need to explain who you are anymore. Not because the world changed, but because you changed. The most powerful change doesn't make a scene. When you stay firm, you don't announce anything. You don't justify yourself. You don't perform. You simply live differently. And that makes some people uncomfortable, confuses others. But most of all, it frees you. Because you're not at war anymore. You're not running anymore. You're at peace with your decision. What starts happening when you don't backtrack? Subtle things begin. Your mind gets clearer. You sleep better. You make decisions without guilt. You attract calmer people. Your energy stops scattering. Not because you did something extraordinary, but because you stopped betraying yourself. Stoicism calls this inner consistency. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "The happiness of your life depends on the quality of your thoughts." And when your thoughts are no longer filled with guilt, fear, and other people's approval, life stops feeling heavy. The Stoic doesn't try to control others. They govern themselves. Faith calls it peace. The Bible says it simply, the peace that surpasses all understanding. It's not euphoria. It's not an intense emotion. It's stability. It's waking up without anxiety. It's walking without having to justify yourself. It's knowing you're where you're supposed to be. Maybe you lost people. Maybe you lost habits. Maybe you lost versions of yourself that no longer served you. But you gained something rarer and more valuable. Clarity. And with clarity, you don't have to fight anymore. You just move forward. And if you're still here, it wasn't out of habit. It was a choice. Not everyone makes it to the end of a message like this. The person who does is someone who doesn't want to go backward anymore. So if this episode spoke to you, if you felt like any part of it described your life, I invite you to subscribe to the channel and turn on notifications. Not just to consume more content, but to remind yourself every week of the version of you that you're building. And if you know someone who keeps tolerating what they already decided to release, someone who betrays themselves out of fear of being alone, they don't need advice, they need strength. Share this episode with them. Sometimes the right message at the right time is worth more than 1,000 badly spoken words. Now I want to ask you for something important. If you made it here, if you didn't quit when the message got uncomfortable, leave a comment with this exact phrase: I'm not going back. It's not for the algorithm. It's not for me. It's so it's written down, so when you read it again, you remember that this was the moment you chose to change. Final question. Only answer it if you dare. What is the one thing you know you need to let go of to become the person you say you want to be? Your response might be the quiet push someone else needs today. Thank you for making it to the end. Thank you for being part of this community that chooses awareness over noise. I'll see you in the next episode.
With all the GLP-1 companies out there, how does someone know which one's actually reliable?
I tell people to look at four things. Is it safe? Does it work? Is it affordable? And will you actually get clinical support? When you use that filter, one brand keeps standing out: Bleve. They use U.S. pharmacies. People see results close to the research, about 18% weight loss. It's around $4 a day, and they include nurse support at no extra cost. And full disclosure, I actually use them. I signed up during my lunch break and got approved before I even left work.
Okay, I just Googled it while you were talking, and yeah, it really does look simple. For anyone listening who wants to check it out, where should they go?
It's joinbleve.com, spelled B-L-I-V.
So if you've been curious about GLP-1s, joinbleve.com might be a good place to start.